technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I don't know how you have more faith in Lamar than Allen. Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Lamar Jackson's not been good in the postseason. It's a fair point. I think Josh Allen's going to make him costly mistakes. And you could say the same thing about Lamar. I think it's fair. Time will tell. Time will tell. 713-780-ESPN. Where do you think CJ ranks amongst quarterbacks that are in the NFL playoffs? Where do you think D'Amico ranks amongst head coaches in the NFL playoffs? You want to do quarterbacks or head coaches first?
Your call.
Brian, age before beauty.
Quarterbacks.
There you go. He didn't hesitate there. I like that. So we'll do the quarterbacks first. Couple of texts already on this. Last. You're not pessimistic at all. The Texans are the worst team in the playoffs. If there were any other division, they would not make the playoffs. We talked about this a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, it's not true.
I think NFC South, I think they win.
In the NFC West, possibly.
Possibly. I'm not as high about that likelihood as you are, Brian.
But it's certainly arguable.
Arguable for sure. Are there any other division on the table, though?
No.
I would say no.
Yeah, they could win. In my opinion, they could win 3 out of 8. So, not last than last.
Okay.
When we talked about this, I thought there were two divisions that I thought that they could win. I thought there was one more. AFC South. I mean, the NFC South is the easiest one.
My other one
was NFC West. Jeremy maybe disagreed.
I would definitely have to rank CJ ahead of any quarterback that has not won a playoff game before. Darnold, Daniels, Knicks, not sure who else. Okay, I think that's a fair barometer to use. Mm. Another texture, both at the bottom of the pack, not because of skill, but because of lack of experience. Now, they do have more experience than some head coaches and quarterbacks that are in this year's playoffs. They played two. Like, D'Amico had two last year. Stroud had two last year. McDermott is more likely to be to make the mistakes, to cost the Bills, not Allen. Do y'all not remember when Josh Allen played the Houston Texans at NRG Stadium in the playoffs, and he tried to do a lateral as he was running full sprint to a receiver that was to his right? Dude is an accident prone.
That was before his breakout,
It was before
to
his
be
breakout,
fair,
yes.
But 2019,
he has these
two.
Efforts still. He still has these efforts.
Yeah, but
he is a mistake
I think
waiting
he's toned
to happen.
It down. We'll see.
That feels like an opinion stuck in the old Josh Allen.
No, I see it all the time this year. I saw it last year. He throws into that's a big reason why they fired their OC last year was because of all the mistakes and turnovers he was making.
That hasn't been the case this year though. His turnover numbers are not the same as the Josh Allen you referred to in 2019.
Regular seasons are neat. Regular seasons are cool. Let's see what Josh Allen turns into when the pressure is at its most. He turns back. He's going to turn back into the pumpkin that is careless with the football. Just telling you.
I mean,
just
telling you. We'll see. You admitted earlier in the show that his postseason numbers are actually pretty good.
They are pretty good.
You can't. It's hard to say he's pumpkining.
Look, being pretty good for a majority of the game is great. But in order to win a Super Bowl, you cannot make the mistake that's going to eliminate you from the playoffs. You can do both. You can have great numbers, but then also make the mistake in a tie game that costs you. That both things can be true.
I just think that year that he got beat by the overtime system, he didn't make any mistakes. I mean, he had every right to win that football game the way he played. I think the fact that they've created a lot more structure to eliminate a lot of the careless turnovers seems to be working. I think at some point in his career, he's going to win a Super Bowl.
He was great in that 2022, whenever you're talking about. He threw 5 touchdowns against the Patriots in the wild card round. He threw 4 touchdowns against Kansas City in the game they were referring to. Mm-hmm. Even if they win that game, he has to win 2 more.
Right.
Still had to win 2 more that year. We'll see. Like, we'll argue circles. We'll go in circles on this. Like, we're not changing each other's opinions.
No, right? No,
like,
we're
not. Have to just wait and see how it plays out. We've hit our impasse. 713-780-ESPN. CJ Stroud, quarterbacks first. Stroud over Mahomes?
Mahomes.
No.
Yeah, Mahomes over Allen.
No.
Nope.
Josh Allen's fantastic. The guy's a stud. He's really good in the playoffs specifically. Baltimore Ravens, the Lamar.
Nope.
No.
No. How about Herbert?
No.
I think it's closer than just an immediate no, because Herbert crapped the bed a little bit in the playoffs, too.
He's never won a playoff game.
2 years ago, different coaching staff.
Never has won a
That's
playoff
That's true.
He has one less playoff win than CJ.
I'll take CJ.
I'm going Herbert. If you would have asked me at the start of the year, I would have taken CJ. I have flipped with a full body of the regular season. I'm going Herbert on this one. So moving on to Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, I guess.
Bet he's better than both.
Yeah, I'll go Stroud over the Steeler quarterbacks. I'll speak for Brian. He'll say the same thing. And then Bo Nix.
I'll take him over Bo Nix.
Bo Nix is pretty good.
He's pretty good. That's great. But winning, like you said, winning playoff games, and he's got a couple playoff games under his belt, I think that he's better than Bo Nix right now.
Yeah. I think Stroud and Nix is actually closer than Herbert and Stroud.
That's fair.
But I'll still go Stroud. I'll go Stroud by a hair. Stroud or Nix?
Stroud.
Okay. So Blanker's had three quarterbacks that Stroud's better than in the AFC. I had two. Brian has two. Jared Goff.
No.
I would take Goff.
I take Goff without any hesitation. Right. Jalen Hurts?
Hurts.
Ooh.
You can't stand Hurts. I love your biases. They made me laugh.
My biases?
No.
Oh, okay. Blankers. Okay.
He hasn't. He's not been a huge Hurts guy.
Yeah, I'll take Hurts.
Yeah, I'll go Hurts on that one. Baker Mayfield.
I'll take CJ.
I would take if I'm basing. You guys can base it on your own criteria. To me, I'm basing it on current level of play. Yeah. It's Baker.
I'm going Baker too. Based on Baker's been really good,
but he also like you're talking about with Josh Allen. He has in his past a propensity to turn it over.
Yeah.
Last 2 years, though, he's been amazing.
Okay.
Well, they won a playoff game last year.
Stafford.
No. I would take Stroud.
I'd take Stafford.
I'm going Stafford, too.
Stafford hasn't played. I know he had like a four-touchdown game a month ago, but he's been really up and down this year. Stroud. Stafford, but I would take Stroud.
I like the offense.
Yeah, I like Stafford's experience and the fact that he's got a good offense.
If McVay was calling plays for Stroud, I might flip it there.
Sure.
But Slowick, Stroud, McVay, Stafford.
I would definitely
Stafford.
Take McVay over Slowick, but I'll take Stroud.
But it's the combination of the two.
I get it, but I would still take Stroud.
Sam Darnold.
Stroud.
Ooh, Stroud.
I'm going Darnold. current form? I'm going
Darnold.
But
last week he didn't look great.
All those throws high the last week.
It was against the best team in the NFL.
One series without an incompletion? Are you kidding me? CJ looked fantastic last week.
Stroud's got recent. He went 6-for-6 against the Titans. Blasting
he did.
Darnold for losing to the best team in the NFC. Yeah, Darnold. If we're going recent form, Jaden Daniels, first ever playoff game.
Jaden.
See, that's why that experience to me has me thinking about it. From a year to year perspective, Jaden's had a better year than CJ. I think in the playoffs, I would take CJ to win a game over Jaden.
Okay, so you go Stroud. You win Jaden, Brian?
Yeah, because I mean, too. Like, per the last conversation, factoring in who's calling plays for him, I would take Cliff over Bobby Slowick. So.
Yeah, I'm going Jaden as well. And then last one, Brian, again, I'm asking just you. Jordan Love.
Just you.
I would take Stroud.
You taking Stroud or Love?
I'm taking Stroud.
I'm taking Love. I'm taking Love. So Joel has Stroud over seven quarterbacks in the playoffs. So if you have him over seven, where does that rank? Eighth or whatever? I have him over two. Brian has him over five.
Over two in the entire playoffs?
In the entire playoffs. I have Stroud, I guess, 14 so teams. I have Stroud as the 12th quarterback.
Yeah, I have
in
him
the
at nine. I have
you had
him
over
nine.
Two in the AFC and nothing in the NFC?
I guess not. No, I have him over nobody. I had him over Bo Nix, and I had him over the Steelers quarterbacks.
Yeah, saying,
I had him over no NFC quarterbacks. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I have Stroud number 12. You had him nine.
Nine. I had him nine.
Yeah, I need to do a little bit. So and Blakers had him,
at
him seven.
Oh, at seven? Okay.
Yeah. So where does Stroud rank? 7, 12, 9? 7, 9, 12 is where we have him.
Certainly a lot different than the way we were talking.
Ooh,
I was bullish. I was bullish on Stroud.
Yeah,
sure.
Our preseason quarterback rankings, we had a consensus top five.
Honestly, there was no reason not to be bullish on CJ coming off the year.
I don't regret it, but.
And doing what he did, they did, and where it looked like it was going.
I expected him to build off of last year and take another step forward, which is why I thought he'd be top five. Because if he did take a step forward from last year's results, he would have been a top five quarterback. Problem is, he took three steps backwards.
Well, and I also think that as much as we talked about the schedule, even if they had lost tough games because of the schedule, I just felt like he was still going to perform well. And there's been a lot of...
Yeah, you're expecting, speaking for the person worried about the schedule, you're expecting even if they had a step back record-wise, which even though it ended up being identical, that they would, when they're losing, they're losing shootouts because Stroud was special and he was going to take a step forward.
That's basically what I said.
That wasn't the case.
Yeah, I think that because of the schedule, they might lose more games, but I definitely didn't expect him to look like this.
All right, where do you have him? Blankers has him 7. Brian has him 9. I have him 12. We'll get to the D'Amico one as well. Let's go out to the HRP listener line real quick. Joey, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Joey? Joey,
you there?
I'm here.
Okay, buddy, go.
There he is.
Okay, look, what if the Texans haven't put their good stuff out? I feel like they haven't put their
legit offense out or their defense out. What if they come out with a fucking, I mean, excuse my language.
Thanks for calling, Joey.
I've never seen Brian move faster.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, he had
his quick twitch.
His quick twitch was
getting him 5 yards there.
I was taking a drink of my Coke Zero and nearly spit it out on the board as I was trying to reach for the dump button.
He was mid-sip and went triple axel there.
There was his 5 yards behind the line, behind a good, offensive line.
Oh,
Brian's
man.
Quick twitch was put right on display.
Brian, will
you go grab that and post it on the internet? Can you post your movement in there when Joey dropped the F-bomb?
I'll reach out to Sam. I'll give
him a proposal. Not the tire drill. What's the one where it's just
the three-cone drill.
The three-cone?
Yeah, three-cone.
I think you're more athletic than Dalton Schultz. For the first time in my life, I believe Brian when he said he could gain 5 yards if
the
sea's clear.
Just get him the deck thing, and he's good.
That was impressive. I really hate that we lost Joey there because I think he was onto something saying that the Texans have shown nothing. They haven't shown their best stuff. I think that Bobby Slowick and the D'Amico Ryans, I think all year they were like, you know what? We're just going to put our mediocre stuff out there. That way, whenever we get to the playoffs, we're going to really show them. I think that Joey had a point. I think that Joey was being, I think he was being a savant there. I agree with him. I don't think that Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans put their best stuff on film this year because they were waiting for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
/ S. All right, 713-780-3776. Blankers 7, BMAX 9, me 12. Where do you have Stroud rank? Where do you have D'Amico rank? 713-780-3776. It's the B's, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Text line's roasting me for my Josh Allen take. We'll see. We'll see. If he wins the Super Bowl, we'll have a three-hour roast fest. If he throws an interception, dumb interception in a critical moment, I'll roast all of you. Pat 408 with the tush push, the Eagles can win it all. Without it, they lose. Why couldn't they do it? Am I missing something here? You can do it.
I mean, you're gonna do it for 100 yards. I mean, wherever you are on the field, every time.
I don't see them winning it all this year, but I think he will win one eventually. I think he's talking about CJ.
I thought he's talking about Josh Allen.
Maybe. Tyler and Conroe, the only teams better than the Texans are the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Lions, and Vikings. They're better than every other team, and that's a fact.
I mean, like your confidence.
But even then, is it that confidence? He said that they're the sixth best team in the playoffs. They're in the middle of a 14 team playoff. That's not that like hot of a take.
I mean, they are who we thought they were, except for Brian.
Yeah,
but they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
I'm glad I didn't knock over your drinks. That was a stupid
thing.
If
you want to crown them, crown their ass.
Tyler and Conroe, Branham is totally unserious right now. Darnold, recent form, he lost his team the game. It was against the Lions. Like, I'm not going to just tank Darnold for having a really good season because he lost to the best team in the NFC. Like, the opponent matters. And just like I'm not going to claim CJ Stroud's a top seven quarterback because he went 6-for-6 against Tennessee. Opponent, context, matters. CJ is that guy and a winner, second year and two-time division winner. Y'all heard y'all's lady guests. Yeah, lady guests did have something nice to say about
Jesse Minter.
Yeah, about Stroud. Tyler Conroe, Branham was also bullish on Levis, so let's take his option where quarterbacks rank with a grain of salt. I liked his attributes. I did a lot of that to troll, though, because it moved the needle. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Jacob, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Jacob?
Yo, what's up? Hey, man, CJ is the guy. Let me tell you something about CJ. He had his second year, people were saying he was going to go into a sophomore slump. Okay. Last year, he had a decent, easy schedule. This year, the schedule was harder. And like I said yesterday, of course, for some reason, y'all think the injuries doesn't matter. His top receiver went down. Yeah, you say he played 15 games, but he did not have intact him and Diggs for the entire season. Diggs got hurt. Now they just, you know what happened last week? They added another talented wide receiver. He's going to take some of the pressure off. Now they can go back to my man Nico deep. And not only can they go deep, now they can run the ball. They can play action. Now, the defense, when they got them 5 turnovers against Detroit, what they finna do to L.A. is going to be ridiculous, man. They defense and Ryan, there's not a franchise with a second-year coach and a second-year a quarterback that has the capabilities of what the Texans got. The Texans' future, far as in football, is good, man.
But how about this year?
But Jacob, we're not talking about the overall future. We're talking about this season.
This season they got a home field advantage in his second year, 2 years in a row. This season, hey, and this season starts Saturday. And nigga, you can rank them whatever you can feel what you feel. Now when they blow them out, I want to see what y'all got to say. At the end, they got a shot. I'm not saying they're not. I don't think they're gonna beat the Chiefs, but they do have a shot. The Chiefs is not looking, and the Chiefs, this ugly win, cute wins. The Chiefs won ugly all year, but they still the favorites to win it all. All right, y'all.
All right, appreciate Jacob. It. Thanks for the call.
I like his fire.
No, he's obviously a big CJ fan and D'Amico, and he should be. I mean, that's your team. I just think that as we talk about it specifically to this season and where they rank and the expectations based on how they've played, I think it's really, really hard to see them as a Super Bowl contender. It's difficult to find them in the AFC Championship game, and it's really difficult for most people looking at this opening round game. They're not the favorite, and most people aren't picking them. So, you know, shock the world, I guess. But it's not to say that no matter what happens in this playoff run, that it tarnishes the fact that for the next several years, this team should be pretty good.
Yeah, I still like the future.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm still high on their future. I think you need to make some changes to aid that future.
For sure.
But that's probably a different conversation for a different day. Or actually a conversation that we've had. All right, so
probably after they get eliminated when you start worrying, you know, talking about what to do differently and where they can improve.
All right, let's have the D'Amico side of this. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. D'Amico or Andy Reid?
Andy Reid.
Yeah,
easy Andy Reid.
D'Amico or Sean McDermott?
I would take D'Amico.
I'll take McDermott.
I think it's really dang close. McDermott has some game management issues. His motivation tactics are a little odd and even extreme.
You could say extremist.
I think I got to go McDermott, though, because of the resume. Like D'Amico's resume is good, too. D'Amico's won two division titles in 2 years, but McDermott has done it more often. That one's really, really close. I'm going to lean McDermott.
Both
there.
Defensive coaches, right?
Yeah,
I think
that's really close.
Yeah, I think the overall resume has me giving the nod to McDermott.
John Harbaugh.
Easily.
I got to go Harbaugh there. Jim Harbaugh.
Easily Jim Harbaugh.
I don't know easily, but yeah, definitely Jim Harbaugh.
I would say, if we're going to talk about past resume, I mean, our guest earlier in the show said it. I mean, he won at Stanford, he won with the 49ers, he won at Michigan, he won at, San Diego State before Stanford?
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, I think it's pretty easily, too. Tomlin.
You're going to go against that?
Why do we act like Mike Tomlin's been more than mediocre for the last 7 years?
Because more times than not, he's made chicken salad out of chicken bleep with what he's had to work with.
Maybe so.
He hasn't had a quarterback since Roethlisberger wasn't the same as the last couple of years, and he's still making the playoffs and winning 10 games.
Tomlin hasn't won a division title since 2020.
Also hasn't had a losing season.
Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. I'm going D'Amico.
I mean, the playoff game is a fair point, but I'm still going to take what he's done. Because, I mean, I think the idea of what D'Amico did rebuilding the Texans last year is equal to what some of what Tomlin has done with lesser than quarterbacks post Roethlisberger. So, plus, you have the Super Bowl and the long.
What D'Amico's doing with lesser than quarterback this year.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the Super Bowl. I'll take Tomlin.
Yeah, I think this one is pretty convincing in Mike Tomlin's favor.
I just feel like Tomlin's been super mid for the last
Never having a losing season for the last, 15
years? Let's applaud mediocrity. Let's applaud 9-7s. Like, why didn't we do that for Bill O'Brien? Like, Bill O'Brien won more playoff games in his last 7 years than Mike Tomlin did in his last seven.
Based on what he's had to work with and what he's been able to achieve, and he's got a Super Bowl under his belt, I think it's an easy decision.
He won his Super Bowl in 2008.
still won one. He's got experience. He can lead. He can get the most out of his players. I mean, there are teams around the league that would love to trade for him. They want him. I mean, I just think it speaks for itself, the fact that he's been able to do what he's done with lesser than rosters a lot.
You know who won the Super Bowl the year before Tomlin?
Pete 2007? Carroll. That would have been...
Tom Colts? Coughlin.
Oh, the Giants, right, yeah.
You know who won the Super Bowl before Tom Coughlin? Tony Dungy. Do you know who won it before that? Bill Cowher. Like, Mike Tomlin's closer to those guys in Super Bowl wins than he is Sean McVay.
But doesn't that show that he's had longevity from that point to still be coaching the same team and winning?
Of mediocrity. I think he's been super mid in the last 7 years.
About never having a losing season as being mediocre.
Bill O'Brien didn't have a losing season to the final one. He was fired. His first one, I think his last one.
No, he had a losing season in 2017.
They went 2-14 and got hurt, whatever.
They were 4-12 that year.
Super Bowl coaches, Super Bowl winning coaches since Mike Tomlin, Sean Payton, Mike McCarthy. Like, why aren't we having the same conversation about Mike McCarthy? Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. Why does Tomlin get love for winning a Super Bowl in 08 and McCarthy doesn't for winning one in 10?
McCarthy gets credit for winning the Super Bowl, but from the same degree of what he's been able to do, longevity, stay with the same team, and never have a losing season, we see it differently.
I can't imagine before this year McCarthy had many losing seasons either.
I mean, he had Aaron Rodgers for the majority of his career.
Sure. He's winning with Dak.
Mm-hmm. And Dak was winning before him.
And, yeah.
Bill O'Brien had two losing seasons in his entire career. Two. And one and was the one he got fired.
Season, he had one
and how
season
long was his career? Because look at how many years you're talking about with Tomlin.
If you go 7 years of Bill O'Brien as the Houston Texans coach, he won four division titles. Now they were crappy divisions. Mm-hmm. Tomlin hasn't won a division title since when did I say? Tomlin's last division title was in 2020.
Oh, 2020.
So he hasn't won a division title in been 6 years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. He hasn't won a playoff game, Tomlin, again, since 2016. Bill O'Brien won a playoff game in 2019. Bill O'Brien has won a playoff game more recently than Mike Tomlin.
Doesn't matter, Brian.
3 years closer. 3 years more recent. And I'm not arguing for Bill O'Brien, obviously. But I think that we overrate Mike Tomlin.
But if you're going to use the Bill O'Brien resume argument, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bill O'Brien's only had in those 7 years one season where he won 10 or more games. Because most of those division titles were 9-7
records. He won 10 or more twice.
Twice?
He won 10-6 in 19. He won 11-5 in 18.
Right.
And then he was fired 11 in 20 when he went 0-4.
Okay. So two out of seven were 10 wins plus. Okay.
Yeah. And look, I mean, O'Brien took advantage of a bad division, and Tomlin's been in the AFC North, and the AFC North traditionally far greater than
the AFC South.
No argument there. Like, other coaches who have won a Super Bowl since Mike Tomlin's last Super Bowl win. Like, again, like this is why I think we overrate Tomlin a little bit. Tom Coughlin won a Super Bowl in 2011. Tom Coughlin has a more recent Super Bowl win than Mike Tomlin. Tom Coughlin.
And Tom Coughlin's out of the league, and Mike Tomlin's still coaching and coaching at the same team.
I understand that. But what we're doing here, though, is we're rewarding longevity. We're not rewarding, like, this
longevity
top level of football.
Accompanied with success.
It defines success.
He's made the playoffs the last couple years, they've never had a losing season.
If D'Amico Ryans did not have a playoff win in the last 7 years, not even 7 years, it's greater than that. Because Mike Tomlin's last playoff win came in 16. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If Houston went 8 years without a playoff win, we would be calling for D'Amico Ryans' head. We would be calling for D'Amico Ryans to be fired if he did not have a playoff win for 8 years.
I think the roster matters in those situations. I think if you had a less than roster and had no expectation at the start of the year that team was going to be good enough to even get to the playoffs, and he overachieved to get them into the playoffs, whether they won the playoff game or not, I think that means something.
I think that any city would be calling, maybe not except for Pittsburgh, I guess. I think that any NFL city would be calling for the head of their head coach if they didn't have a playoff win in 8 years. I think every single one.
I think
one.
The city matters. I think teams like Jacksonville and teams that have been lesser than in smaller market would have said, hey, you know, making the playoffs is
market
is,
doesn't
is a
matter
good
in
deal.
Football. Market does not matter in football.
I think from the fans to clamor for a guy's job, if they continue to make the playoffs, especially when their rosters aren't greater, they're not spending the same kind of money, I think that does matter.
Jacksonville won a playoff game in 2017. That is the – was that the same year?
No, year after.
Yeah, Jacksonville has a playoff win more recently than Mike Tomlin.
Well, they've got multiple because they beat the Chargers a few years ago.
2022. Yep, they do. So they have two playoff wins. Jacksonville, lowly Jacksonville that you're crapping on. They have two more playoff wins than Mike Tomlin does.
Of a fan base that I don't think would be clamoring to fire a coach that won the division or made the playoffs.
I don't know.
They had no losing records in however many years he's been there.
Were they not clamoring for Doug Peterson to get fired?
I mean, I'll tell you this.
Were they not clamoring for Urban Meyer to get fired?
Until Dan Campbell got to Detroit.
Apples and oranges. Urban Meyer was a train wreck.
Okay, Peterson. Let's stick to that one most recently.
But, I mean, don't you think that their success, though, that pertinent to this conversation, Peterson's success wasn't there.
Yes, it was. 9-8. Win a division. 9-8. 4-13. Like, he didn't have the longevity of success, but he had two winning seasons prior to this year.
Sure, but the Super Bowl that would anchor that conversation wasn't
not in Jacksonville. I think that's the take. Pittsburgh is holding on to that Super Bowl title way more than they should. Tom Coughlin has a Super Bowl win more recently than Mike Tomlin. Bill Belichick has three Super Bowl wins more recently than Mike Tomlin. Pete Carroll has a Super Bowl win more recently than Mike Tomlin. Gary Kubiak has a Super Bowl win more recently than Mike Tomlin. Bruce Arians has a Super Bowl win more recently than Mike Tomlin. I think we overrate Mike Tomlin.
There's one guy that's still coaching out of those guys. I mean, he still kept his job.
But I understand where you're coming from, but you're rewarding him keeping the job. He has not done anything significant. Winning seasons are significant.
I guess you're saying he shouldn't have the job.
Yeah, I guess so. I think every single NFL city, I guess, with the exception of Pittsburgh, and it's probably because he won the Super Bowl there. And look, Pittsburgh keeps their head coaches longer than any other NFL organization. So I think perhaps even if Tomlin was coaching at any other place, he'd probably be fired by now. How many coaches and how many organizations are going to keep a head coach that has not won a playoff game in 8 years? I would argue Pittsburgh is it.
If they haven't had a losing season and a good there's examples that now change the narrative of like a team like Detroit that had never even sniffed any kind of success until Dan Campbell, and he took his lumps too. But I think before that, if you'd have said a team like Detroit couldn't win their division, couldn't even get to the playoffs, struggled mightily.
Let's use Dan Campbell then. Let's say Detroit wins the Super Bowl this year. They lose Ben Johnson, and then Detroit has a bunch of 9-8s for the next 8 years. They don't win a single playoff game. Do you think Detroit's calling for Dan Campbell's head?
I don't.
I don't either.
I absolutely think they are. I don't think he lasts 8 years. I don't think he gets 8 years
after the futility of their existence and how putridly bad it's been. I think
market matters. Like Philly obviously pushed Doug Peterson out quickly when things went downhill, or you know, for the Eagles after his Super Bowl win. I don't think Detroit would. I mean, I think you're right in that more than half the teams in the league.
Call it Brendan Riley. Brendan Riley's our representation.
See, I think the other Detroit thing that we're talking
you
more and more about.
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
culture and leader of men and all these other things too. Tomlin survived the Le'Veon Bell BS, the Antonio Brown BS, and you know, to your point in Tampa Bay. You know, I think that Arians lost his job because he and Brady butted heads. I think that, you know, Tomlin's been able to have that balance between leader of men, creator of culture, you know, having the respect of everybody in the building, and then still not having a losing season to where the respect level continued to grow and grow. That's why he still has his job.
I think we're overrating 10-7s and 9-8s. Like his last 4 years, 9-7-1, 9-8, 10-7, 10-7. Hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. Hasn't won a division in 2020. If they get bounced again this year, in the first round, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, that's six straight playoff losses. Six straight playoff losses. Here's the scenario with like Detroit. If they win a Super Bowl, Ben Johnson gets another head coaching job. Dan Campbell goes a bunch of 9-8. The narrative on Dan Campbell is that he can't win without Ben Johnson, and they would fire him before eight seasons of 9-8 and not winning a playoff game. I wholeheartedly believe that.
Okay. I think, you know, the fact that Tomlin has a no-trade clause in his contract shows you, too, that they definitely don't want to lose him.
All right, we have our representative of Detroit. Brendan Riley is joining us now. We just got into a big argument here, Brendan, and we brought you in to mediate the situation. Kidding, kind of. So we started talking about Mike Tomlin, and I think Mike Tomlin's overrated. I don't think that there's another NFL city where you could go 8 years without winning a playoff game, that you could keep your job. And it led to Dan Campbell, and we used the scenario of Dan Campbell wins the Super Bowl this year, Ben Johnson leaves Detroit, and then Dan Campbell for the next 8 years goes 9-8, and they don't win a single playoff game. Do you want Detroit to fire Dan Campbell?
Yeah. The exact scenario you laid out, for sure. I think there would be people who probably wouldn't, but no, that's, if you lose your coordinator and instantly can't win a playoff game, that's a pretty clear sign you're not the reason for success.
Thank you, Brendan. Appreciate your services. Great to hear from you too. I hope the family's well. Hope you had a good Christmas. Happy New Year, all of that. But thank you for getting to our Detroit question. Best of luck to y'all too, by the way. I'm rooting for y'all to make the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Hi, Brendan.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, goodbye. I'll talk to you again in 8 months. There you go. I don't think there's another city except the Pittsburgh in the entire NFL that would allow a head coach to be winless in the postseason for 8 straight years and he keep his job.
I mean, the Texans kind of did it with Kubiak close to that. It was 6 seasons before he won his first playoff game.
Houston wanted Bill O'Brien fired. Want Bill O'Brien fired whenever he was going 9-7 every year?
Sure.
And yes, a 4-12 came, but people with Houston wanted Bill O'Brien fired after that 3-9-7 year.
And when I'm making my point, I also will admit it's under different ownership, same family, different ownership. But, I mean, Kubiak started his career with 6 straight not just the seasons not winning a playoff game. They didn't even make the playoffs for 6 seasons, and he was still holding on to his job, and it seemed like he was never going to lose it.
It's so crazy looking at the coaches that have won a Super Bowl since Tomlin, and you see McCarthy, you see Coughlin, you see Carroll, you see Kubiak, you see Peterson, you see Bruce Arians. It's wild.
And Pete Carroll's interviewed for the Bears job. I don't think Pete Carroll was a bad coach.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but he also got fired, and he won a Super Bowl more recently than Tomlin. How many losing seasons did Pete Carroll have? Like, maybe that's a good example to this conversation. Because Pete Carroll, didn't they have a winning season the year they got rid of him? Yeah, he's 9-8. Pete Carroll went 9-8, 9-8, 7-10, 12-4, 11-5, 10-6, 9-7, 10-5, 10-6, 12-4, 13-3 Super Bowl champions. They fired Pete Carroll. Like, that's another example that I think highlights my point.
I don't know. I think it's kind of apples and oranges because he got seemingly pushed out from it's all speculation, of course, but it seems like he got pushed out in part due to his age, kind of like Belichick did in New England. Because I think Carroll's older than Belichick. He's in his 70s, so I don't know if that was entirely hey, we're tired of mediocrity, you get out of here. I think it was part of like, all right, this dude's like 73 years old, let's go ahead and move on to the next guy.
A lot of textures on this saying quarterback. Tomlin hasn't had a quarterback. Carroll hadn't had great quarterbacks in Seattle after Russell Wilson. They weren't bad. What other franchises have 15 straight winning seasons? Cool! Like, I don't want to go 9-8 for 15 straight years. Like, that's not what I want my organization to do. Like, do you want to go 9-8 for 15 straight years? Or do you want to win, like, 2 Super Bowls in 15 years? And then maybe for 7 of those years, you're 6-11. Like, I'd rather have the highs and the lows than to be here in purgatory. It's like the Chuck Hayes Rockets. Cool. You're going 41-41 every year. Tomlin's going 42-40. And they're losing in the first round every year.
Yeah, we just see it differently. I just think that because of the overall big picture of what, and you're right, Pittsburgh plays into this because they haven't had many head coaches in their existence, in their history. But I think that when you talk about a guy that has been able to persevere, take less than and make more out of it, to be able to get over some really, really difficult situations, personality conflicts and otherwise, survive not having a quarterback to really, I mean, even though you spent a high pick on Pickett, you look at the fact that he survived the last couple of years, that there's a respect factor, there's, you know, relationships that he's built with the organization that factor into it too. But I think overall it's the everything that he brings to the table as a head coach is why he's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we've hit our impasse. I just think that if you had a coach that hadn't won a playoff game in 8 years, you're looking to get rid of him. Texture Tomlin is the best coach in the league after Andy. Another texture.
I disagree with that.
I disagree with that.
That's the Steelers' way. They've had 3 coaches in the last 40 years. Yeah, and I think that's why every other organization has probably moved on from Tomlin. I agree Tomlin should go. Not having a losing season is impressive, but doesn't really amount to anything significant. I agree with that. Like, it goes back to what I just said. I don't care about going 9-8 and 10-7. I'm trying to go deep into the playoffs. If I have a few losing seasons mixed in there, I don't really care. Tomlin overrated. Are you serious? Name the other coaches with no losing seasons. Trash take by Brenham.
I think
he spelled it Brenham.
He spelled it Brenham, yeah.
I think, too, when you look at this, this is like he's not had of a quarterback for the last, what, how many years? Five? Four? Five?
Yeah, I think Roethlisberger's last year was 2019.
And so most people wrote them off as being a really, really bad team and finding a way to win. This is like the Colts, who had everything but a quarterback, went through all these different quarterbacks and couldn't even get to the playoffs with what they had or do anything. And Tomlin's, I think that's why a lot of people are impressed at the fact that he found a way to get it to be good enough to at least make the postseason. With most teams that don't have that, just fade away.
You're celebrating Bill O'Brien going to the playoffs with Matt Fitzpatrick and Brian Hoyer.
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions, 2 years in a row, Brian.
I think where it really comes down to is what you just said. I mean, you'd rather have some tough years and then go for the peak, whereas to never have that kind of lull and go down and be able to sustain every single year not having a losing season.
Look, I think that is impressive. I agree with you that is impressive. I just if I'm an owner, I'm giving my head coach their goals. It isn't to go 9-8, 10-7. It's to win playoff games and win divisions and going deep into the playoffs. And maybe like that's what I would want as an owner. Like I want to have deep playoff runs, win division titles, hang banners. I don't want to go 9-8 and 10-7.
Okay.
Like, and you would?
I think the entire situation matters. The city, the owner, the dedication to, you know, what do you consider a win? You know, it, budgets, everything matters.
So what would your goals be as an owner? What are your owner goals?
I think it's easy to say my goal every year is to win the Super Bowl.
Well, that's what I asked.
I just answered.
You started talking about cities and stuff. Well, like if you're an owner, I think you're hiring a small market
that's never really sniffed success, and suddenly you're sniffing success.
You're
that
the owner of an NFL team, and you're hiring a head coach. What are the goals that you're giving your head coach that you just hired?
You obviously want to win, first and foremost, just to win. That's especially because you're probably coming from a perspective where you weren't winning. So you want to win, and then you want to make the playoffs, and then you want to win the division, and then you want to win a playoff game, yes. And then you want to, you know, and you go from there and there and there. But I think that the situation does matter in terms of all those other things I was calling up. Because if you're a storied franchise that has a success level of winning Super Bowls and going to the Super Bowl and doing things like that, it's going to be more impactful to the longevity of your coach than it is if you've never been there before, or you're like Cleveland in baseball where you're always kind of wallowing, or teams like that. You're going to take the fact that, hey, he finds a way to win.
So what was the goal that you hired for the head coach? Whenever you hired a head coach, your goal was what?
I said it depends on what you're coming from to where you're going to, but you first want to win, then you want to make the playoffs, then you want to win the division, and I think that happens in different years.
Keith says that Philly fired Andy Reid. That wasn't a good decision. They should have kept Andy Reid. Andy Reid's awesome. Steelers don't have less than. They always have elite talent on defense. It's a good point. They always are very good defensively. Pittsburgh has been dead man walking for how many years? A lot of years. Like, it feels like Pittsburgh is going to be under 500 for like the last 4 or 5 years, and they haven't, which is a testament mm-hmm. that Tomlin can. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I say that we overrate him. I'm surprised he still has his job, and I believe if he wasn't the head coach in Pittsburgh, he probably would have been let go. Everyone is a loser unless they win a chip, hang the banner. Coach can't play
Don't
for them.
Don't you also think that if he got let go that he'd be snapped up immediately by somebody?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Does Blankers ever answer a question directly, or does he have to word vomit and eventually get a half-measure answer?
Just answered it. I answered everything you asked me.
So I'm going to D'Amico over
Yo,
Tomlin.
Blank, man.
I'm going to D'Amico
I'm
over
sure you
Tomlin.
Love that.
No, I was going back to what started this whole thing. D'Amico or Sean Payton?
Sean Payton.
Okay. So I get you had Tomlin, and now you have Payton. Brian, you have Payton.
I'd go Payton. It's close, though.
I'm going Payton as well. All right, let's go over to the NFC. Dan Campbell or D'Amico?
Dan Campbell.
Nick Sirianni.
D'Amico.
I hate Nick Sirianni. I shouldn't say hate. I don't hate anybody. I strongly dislike Nick Sirianni. I think he's jabroni. I think he hinders them. I think he gets in the way of their success.
They should
trade Mike Tomlin to Philadelphia.
When I did my list 1 through 14 for this exercise, I had Sirianni dead last.
I can't stand Sirianni.
I mean, that's like saying, too, I think that if you know, I had a conversation with a buddy. I think that because they were defending, they're from Philly, they were defending Sirianni. And I was like, I'll tell you this. If Belichick had that Eagles roster when he left the Patriots, I think he'd win again. And I think he'd win more consistently than Sirianni, and I think there wouldn't be any question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions with his leadership. I mean, you see all the stuff on the sidelines, the fans, everything. That's like, you know, your DC is not letting, or your line defensive line coach isn't letting you go talk to one of your players during the game and you're listening, you're the head coach.
Yeah, I'm not a big Sirianni guy.
I'm not either.
I don't think this
big
is
Dom
a pro
might be coaching that team.
Sirianni show. Todd Bowles.
Oh,
D'Amico.
I'll take D'Amico.
Yeah, I'm going D'Amico there too. Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
Give me McVay. Kevin O'Connell.
O'Connell
here as well. Dan Quinn.
D'Amico.
I'm going to go Dan Quinn. And then Sean LaFleur.
I'm going to go Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm going to go LaFleur as well. So y'all had five coaches that D'Amico is ahead of. I have four coaches that D'Amico is ahead of. So we're right around that same spot. All right, 713-780-ESPN. You can weigh in on this. Also, are there any coaching candidates you do not want in the division? Jacksonville looking for a head coach. Are there any coaching candidates in this carousel that you do not want in the AFC South? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, a moment on HRP, Human Resources and Payroll. Cougar owned by Mike Holly, go Cougs. And business owners, let HRP help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRP can help in any or all of those facets. There's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. HRP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. If you have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HRP will find a way to help. And they do it in a way that is unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You'll love that, but you will love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A couple of quick texts to wrap up that previous conversation. Branham wants Tomlin in Houston. Not anymore. He would have been an upgrade over Cully and Lovey. He was never really on. I mean, he was never an option.
I know analytics has those things out there.
So one of the national pundits said that they should. One of the teams in looking for a coach right now should trade for Mike Tomlin, and he has a no trade. I think it was the Bears.
I've never heard that Tomlin had a no trade. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Maybe it was Stephen A. But someone said that they should trade. The Bears should trade to get Mike Tomlin.
Look, I think Tomlin's a good coach. I just don't think I think we do overrate him a bit. I don't think he's top five coach. And I do think that he gets the benefit of winning a Super Bowl a long time ago, and he gets the benefit of being with the organization that is historically known to keep their coaches far longer than anybody else. That's a fact. It's not an opinion. That's a fact. What franchises have done what you're talking about and won more than Tomlin besides New England and Kansas City? Well, New England fired their coach, and they did far more than Pittsburgh did. But Tomlin, let's see, who has done more? I mean, again, this depends on what you value. Like, I don't value a ton of regular season mediocrity. I guess slightly above mediocrity.
And but, I guess that weighs in, but it's also your roster, right?
I mean, you're talking more about coaching prowess, I think, where I'm talking more about how many coaches keep their job after not winning a playoff game in 8 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any except for Pittsburgh. Any other team would have let him go already, says a texter. And then, obviously, Jeremy Brendham wouldn't be an owner for long because he would only make money once every 10 years. When the team was good, he would be constantly rebuilding and getting new coaches and losing more than winning. Here's the reality of the NFL. That ain't none of them losing money. All of them are making tons of money. So if I was an NFL owner, I would be an NFL owner for long. I might not be any good. I might hire a bunch of dumb people. Maybe I hire Easterby. Maybe I hire David Culley. Maybe I would be so dumb to do those things. But I'd be
still
making a lot of
never,
money.
Hand over
never
fist.
Quit.
Maybe I'd be like Cal McNair, a hero of mine that inspires me daily. You know, that's my ringtone. Whenever people
call never,
me, it's this.
Never quit.
It's my motivation that I listen to.
You never turn your ringer on, do you?
I never do.
Yeah.
No, I was lying about that being my ringtone. But no, I don't turn on my ringer.
We've heard it from all over with people with NFL experience that the fans want you to believe that every owner is dialed into and cares deeply about wins and losses. And the bottom line is they we had Travis in here, we had Keenan here, we had others that said, it's icing on the cake. Everything is about the bottom line, and they are rolling in money.
Yeah, that was a fun conversation, just impromptu, fun discussion. That I think it's pretty divisive. I think that it's a pretty, like, that's a good, healthy debate there. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Tomlin's slightly overrated, yes or no? You want to go into a bar and have a two-hour conversation, that's the conversation that you spark up. All right, let's get to the next conversation. Are there any coaching candidates you don't want in the division? 713-780-3776. We discuss next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. ESPN 97.5.